In the right attitude.
Yeah.
We're going to talk tonight about having a healthy attitude.
Okay.
Yes, it does. Well, if we want our bodies to be healthy, we have to have the right attitude, you know, about these bodies. The last time I was with you, we were talking about the perfect equation. You know, that was a few weeks ago. And it was man plus God equals God's blessings. His blessings included health, fruitfulness, multiplication, replenishment, restoration of the earth, keeping it under control. You know, all of those Genesis promises are included in that. And we understood that everything that we do has to be based on God's perfect equation. It has to be man plus God. We looked at what the Bible talks about, how, you know, we can only do with God, nothing's impossible. But when we looked at verse in Hebrews 15, where it says, Jesus said he's the true vine, and apart from him, we can do nothing. Nothing. So if we're going to get what God promised, we're going to have to stick to his perfect equation. Turn, we're just going to look at these for a little bit of a review, because it's been a few weeks. Jeremiah 29:11 in the Message Bible. Jeremiah said, this is God's word on the subject. As soon as Babylon's 70 years are up and not a day before, I'll show up and take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. I like this next part. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you've hoped for. That's what God said. In Isaiah 53:5, we're familiar with it. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. Exodus says, Exodus 15:26, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put or I will allow none of these diseases upon thee which I have allowed upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. But there were some things on there that we had to diligently hearken. We had to do that which was right in his eyes. We had to give ear to his commandments. We had to keep his statutes. See, it's not all on God. God, he always does his part. But there's a part that we have to play. There are things that we have to do to get what he said. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And I like the way that verse is put in the Amplified Bible. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, willingly offering himself on it as on an altar of sacrifice, so that we might die to sin, becoming immune to the penalty and power of sin, and live for righteousness. For by his wounds, you who believe have been healed. See, this scripture isn't for everybody. It's he who believes. If everybody believes, then it's for everybody. Okay? But he's talking specifically, he said, for by his wounds you who believe have been healed. See, we have to stop waiting casually for God to do it. He has already put in place everything that we need to do anything he tells us and to go through anything that comes, but we have to believe it. That's why it says, "For by his wounds you who believe have been healed." Even though he was wounded, you who believe not won't be. I mean, it's really just that simple. So obviously there's a thought process that we have to undertake. Since we have to believe, well, that requires a thought process. It's not something mechanical. You have to think about this thing. That's why we have 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 to 6. And I'm going to share this in the Passion Translation. It says, "For although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. We can demolish every deceptive, fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God." It says every. We can capture like prisoners of war every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. We can, right now, every renegade thought, every arrogant attitude, we can grab it and insist that it obey Christ. We can't. So why are we letting ourselves be grabbed by these renegade thoughts and attitudes and letting them insist that we don't obey Christ? They insist that we give way to the pressure that they're putting on. And if we don't have healthy attitudes, we will give in. You ever wonder why you get a pounding headache? You ever know what a pounding headache is? Right? You don't just get a headache. It's pounding. It may start out as a headache. And you deal with that. But it says, okay, so they think they got this. So instead of just squeezing it, because it wants to beat you down to get you to change your attitude and give into it. Well, that's why, how many of us have comfortable sicknesses and diseases? No. They make it uncomfortable because it wants to change your attitude. It wants you to bow to it and not God. It wants you to give up and say the sickness is Lord, the circumstance is Lord. So it's not going to make your lives more comfortable. It's going to do just the opposite. There was a prisoner in one of the Nazi concentration camps. His name was Viktor Frankl. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. But he was in a concentration camp, and he was harassed. He was beaten. You know, he was spat on. He was worked. You know, they say they beat you like a dog. He was beaten worse than a dog. You know? And he lived in a flea-infested, diseased area. And he said that he could tell when another prisoner was about to die. He said he could see it in their eyes, in their posture, the way they walked. He knew that their attitude had changed, and they stopped eating, and they just laid down to die. And from that, he made this statement: Because, see, they could have fought like he did. Because he decided no matter what they do to him, that he's not changing his attitude. And he said the last of all human freedoms is the ability to choose one's own attitude regardless of the circumstance. But when I read that struck a chord with me, because one of the reasons I got saved was because Pastor Clinton said something that piqued my interest. He said, one right you have that no one can take away from you is the right to form your own attitude about everything. He said, somebody can hit you in the head with a baseball bat and you don't have to get mad about it if you don't want to. And I'm sitting in the congregation, my first time ever in a church, and I'm like, really? I did not know that. I think I'll hit come back. Maybe I'll come back again, was my thought. But Viktor Frankl said, the last of all human freedoms is the ability to choose one's own attitude regardless of the circumstance. See, we can't control the circumstance. We can't control what comes. What we can do is control our attitude about it. And that's what we fail to do. We fail to control our attitude about circumstances and we get beaten down by them. Because you're not going to be, listen carefully, folks. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care what type of self-defense training you are. I don't care if you're an expert marksman, you know, you're an MMA champion. You ain't beating the circumstance in your own strength. I mean, you just forget it. If you try and do it, write out your last will, make your arrangements, because you're going down. You're going down. Because Jesus said, apart from him, we can do nothing. So we take on the attitude, which the circumstance wants us to do. It wants us to take on the attitude that we can hold our own against him. And we cannot. I don't care how super spiritual we may think we are, the moment we step out into the arena alone, we've already lost. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. So we need to maintain the attitude that we're going to remain in Christ. There's no other way. I almost said I wish there was, but I don't. So we can control our attitude about anything. We can choose to believe God's perfect equation, and no one, this is important, no one or nothing has the power to dictate our attitude. No one. Someone can put as much pressure on you as they want. You don't have to change your attitude if you don't want to. It's important that we understand that, folks. Because too many people have left here prematurely because they changed their attitude. And they started believing in the power of the disease instead of the power of the Word of God. And they chose to walk by sight and not by faith. Because it's one thing if your body gets diseased. It's another when your attitude gets diseased. See, a healthy attitude will take care of a diseased body. But a healthy body can't take care of a diseased attitude. That diseased attitude will cause that healthy body to become unhealthy. Well, just think, we don't even have to get as far as losing your life. Just think it on normal health. Why won't we lose weight? We don't want to. That's simple. Food doesn't get on your plate, into your mouth. You know, I mean, I push the cart down the aisle in the supermarket, and I pass by cookies, They don't jump off the shelf and get in my basket. Yet they wind up in my cabinet. They had to have some help. And that help was my attitude, like, I think I'm going to want some cookies tonight. I think I'll get some cookies. I only have one. And I do, but it's one level. And then you wonder why you're closed. Or you say, honey, did you use hot water? No, it's not shrinkage, it's expansion. But 2 Corinthians 4, in the Passion Translation, has a lot to do with attitude. It says, we have the same spirit of faith that's described in the Scriptures. And we have the same spirit of faith that Jesus has. When it says, first I believe, then I spoke in faith. So we also first believe and then speak in faith. But you do that by choice. You have to choose to believe. Hopefully what you choose to believe is what God said. And then speak in faith based on your choice. You speak in faith because you believe what you chose was right. And that it was going to happen the way it was supposed to happen. See, faith was deposited in us. And if we have a healthy attitude, folks, we'll let our faith speak in the midst of a circumstance. And it'll speak loud and clear. And it'll drown out the circumstance because the circumstance is going to speak. It's always going to lie. It's always going to tell you how powerful it is. It's going to remind you of its reputation. It's going to tell you how it took out some of your family members. And you can say, yeah, that's right. I was at their funeral. I was in the hospital. I watched them decline. I mean, and all of a sudden your attitude about this thing is changing. And next thing you know, you'll be saying, well, you know, the people in my family, they're only going to live till about 78, 79. You know, I'm 75, so I got about 4 good years left. You know, because that's what happens in my family. And that's what circumstances would have you say. Because it's caused your attitude to degrade. And it's no longer healthy. Because you're thinking about stuff and things and you're not thinking about what God said. As I said earlier, that's why pain throbs. That's why things get worse. That's why if something's uncomfortable, then it'll feel like it's gripping you. You know, and the doctor said, well, how does it feel? And he said, it's like it's twisting me up in knots. And did it always feel that way? No, it didn't. It was just, you know, it was a little annoying and okay. You know, I was praying, I was speaking the word to it. Then it was like someone shoved 3 butcher knives in my side. You know, well, that feels differently. And then you start to think, ooh, this may be serious. It's the power of the devil, of which we've already been given authority. Now, that's not to say you don't go and get it checked out. That goes to say you keep the right attitude about it. Because you're in charge. See, sickness and circumstances, anyone ever hear that term, when it rains, it pours? That's what circumstances. See, people don't mind a little rain. That's fine. They even made a song about it. I'm singing in the rain. But if it's a downpour, folks, stay inside. Like, you going to church today? No, it's raining too hard out there. And don't let it be lightning and thunder. And it's on the wisdom set. You don't drive in lightning. Why? Like it's going to open your door and come in and strike you? But a downpour will change your attitude about going outdoors. And the enemy knows this. So he'll set you up. He'll let it start raining, get you out there, and then dump on you. And you're like, I should have stayed home. I shouldn't have done this. I should have. The only thing you should have done was say, God, am I supposed to go here? He says yes. Then you don't care what the weather's doing. You go. Because faith says God will keep you while you're doing whatever he told you to do. Period. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 in the Passion Translation. I may have shared that in another translation. But in the Passion Translation, it says, no, that I shared this during Hour of Power. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. See, having a healthy attitude will allow you to do this, folks. A healthy attitude doesn't change because things don't appear to be going the way you think. The New International Reader's Version says it a little differently. It says, don't worry about anything no matter what happens. No matter what happens. Because, see, you can be going along and everything is fine. Then, quote unquote, all of a sudden, something changes and it throws you for a loop. Not if we have a healthy attitude. We just add just one more thing to add to the list. I was watching a movie Saturday. Last time I remember seeing this movie, I was probably about 12. It was Demetrius and the Gladiators. Okay. And Demetrius was a believer, followed Paul, followed teachings, he folded up Jesus' robe, and Caligula wanted the robe. Okay. But Demetrius he was captured, and they wanted him to fight in the arena, and he's like, I'm not killing anybody. I'm a Christian. And they were upset with him because he wouldn't fight, so they put him in there with another friend of his, and so the two of them pretended to fight, but the crowd didn't buy it. And in the end, the king still wanted Demetrius dead, but the people prevailed. But Demetrius, you know, his girlfriend got molested when she went to see him, so now he's angry. They put him in the arena, and first they tried to get him with tigers. They had three tigers. He killed all the tigers. Then they sent one man out. He killed him. They sent another one out. He killed him. Person after person after person, he's just chopping them down. He doesn't care who they are, how big they are, whether they were his friends or not. He didn't care. All that mattered to him was his girlfriend was killed. He cried out to God to save her, and God didn't. So now he's showing his wrath. Not knowing that when he prayed for God to save her, what God did was put the girl in a coma so she'd have no remembrance of what she was going through. You know, and the good news is he repented and he got restored. But the point is that circumstances will come, and they'll come to such a degree to get you to lose your mind and just go bananas. But with a healthy attitude, it doesn't matter what comes. You'll do whatever's necessary to maintain who you are in Christ, to maintain and to grab hold of and stay wrapped up in all of God's promises, because you know they're not going to change no matter what happens. Turn to Mark for me. Because one of the things I was thinking about different instances of that type of attitude. And the first one that came to mind that dropped in my spirit was about Jairus. So in Mark 5, verse 22, starting with verse 22, it says, "And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so she may be healed and she will live.'" So this ruler must have heard about Jesus and figured with the condition his daughter's in, the only hope she has is Jesus coming to lay hands on her. So he went to Jesus. His attitude was, if I can get to Jesus, he'll come, my daughter will be healed. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. I mean, they were all around him, bumping into him, and I mean, you know how that is. It says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I will be made whole.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said," now they're not whispering, okay? "And the disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you? Everybody's bumping into you? And you say, who touched me?' And he looked around to see who had done this thing." What's Jairus thinking when all this is going on? You ever think about that? He goes to Jesus. He humbles himself because he's a ruler. And he goes to Jesus. Jesus says, "Okay, I'll come." And on the way there, you stop to talk to a woman? "And I told you my daughter is dying. Jesus, what's the matter with you?" We never think about what's he think while this exchange is going on. It says, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth." I'm saying, I wonder how long that took. I mean, how long did it take to tell a 12-year story? And is the Jairus like this? Okay, with this pacing back and forth, when are we going to get going? My daughter's dying. What's going on here? You said you'd come with me. Now you're stopping and talking to this woman. I don't understand any of this. What's going on? Are you really Jesus? Are you really going to do what you... No, he had to maintain a healthy attitude throughout that whole time. He had to exercise patience, knowing that whenever Jesus got there, it was going to be fine. But if he doesn't keep a healthy attitude and storms off, is Jesus still going to go? I don't know. We like to think that, well, Jesus would go, but I don't know. the guy was taking him, did he know where Jairus lived? I don't know. But here's the kicker, folks. After the woman told him the whole truth, however long that took, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith had made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Now, we could have talked about having a healthy attitude and talking about her and everything that she had to go through to get to Jesus. But that's not what God gave me. While he was still speaking to the woman, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Now, Jairus could have said, "See, if you had just come and said, stop talking to this woman, my daughter would still be alive." But he didn't say that. because he didn't even have an opportunity to say it. See, we need to understand how faithful God is, because he's always going to provide what we need so that we can continue. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." So it's like, why trouble a master? Your daughter's dead. Don't be afraid, only believe. His attitude stayed healthy. Stayed healthy, stayed, we're going to keep going. Jesus got a plan. He has a plan. See, Jesus knows faith comes by hearing. And he didn't want that man to just hear, your daughter is dead. Because that's what he would have been replaying in his thinking. Your daughter's dead, your daughter's dead, your daughter's dead. And his attitude would change. So as soon as those unfaithful words came out, Jesus replaced them. Do not be afraid, believe only. Don't let those words do anything except build up your belief in what I have already said. So Jairus maintained a healthy attitude because the word of God was spoken and he believed it. And he, being Jesus, permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult of those who wept and wailed loudly. So by the time Jesus got there, the mourning had begun. Okay. People were crying and wailing and rolling out on the floor. One translation said people were bringing in casseroles, because all that mourning makes you hungry. You know, you got to eat something. So they walk up to the scene, and all this stuff is going on. What, again, we know what Jesus is thinking. What's Jairus thinking? He goes there. He's gotten word. His daughter was sick unto almost, and she was dying, and he knew that. And so he goes to the one who can heal her, and while he's there, he gets word that his daughter's dead. But the one who can heal said, don't be afraid, only believe. Now I get home, and all these people are mourning. And Jesus puts everybody out of the house, and him and the mother and the father of the little girl, they go in, and now he sees. Now he's no longer heard that his daughter is dead. He now sees a dead body. What's he thinking? What would you think? Things went from bad to worse. This isn't talk anymore. I see this lifeless body in front of me. What do I do? What do I say? Now I have evidence that she's dead. I see it. I can go back and look at her. She's not breathing. Her skin is ashen. She's dead. Jesus said, why make all this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. Well, I guess his attitude picked up. Well, okay. If that's what Jesus said, then she's sleeping. It says, and they ridiculed her. That means the crowd. They ridiculed him. They made fun of him. They mocked him. This is a ruler. People he's ruling, now they're mocking you in your home, on your property. But Jesus had them all put out. And he took the child by the hand and said, Talitha kumi, which translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with amazement, and they did not include Jesus. Okay. What caused that girl to come back to life? Was it Jesus' words, or was it the Father's belief in his words? He kept a healthy attitude in the midst of some very trying circumstances. Very trying. from the time he left. First of all, it had to take something for him to leave his dying daughter. Most people would have sent someone else. But he went because it was his daughter. And he had to keep a healthy attitude. Because if he doesn't keep a healthy attitude, the child doesn't live. I mean, it's very similar to Jesus with, why does his name always pop out of my head? With Lazarus. He went there, Lazarus was dead 4 days. And his body had already begun to decompose. And even though Martha and Mary and the people didn't have the right attitude, Jesus did. Because it wasn't about that. I mean, Mary and Martha both said the same thing. If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. He said, yeah, but now I am here, and he'll live again. Yeah, we know, you know, in the resurrection at the last day, but he said, no, I am the resurrection. He said, do you believe this? He said, yes, I believe. Lazarus, come forth. That was it. It wasn't like in the movies with the drum roll and the screaming. And Lazarus, come forth. The Bible says, he that was dead came out. And Jesus said, okay, now you wrapped him up, you loose him and let him go. And that was it. See, the little girl wasn't about her attitude. They were dead. It was about the girl's father and the man's sisters, and it was all about Jesus and believing his word. And don't think that, you know, this was an automatic for Jesus, that he just breezed through all of this. Because if you remember Hebrews 4:15, the Living Bible says, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, since he had the same temptations we do, though he never once gave way to them and sinned. So that means he was tempted to have a change of attitude also in all of those situations. So if he doesn't give in, guess what? We don't have to give in. And we can keep the right attitude regardless of what we're going through. And that's the important part of this, folks. It's regardless of what we're going through. Because we think, and we've probably all said it at one time or another, everybody has their limit. Spiritually and divinely, that's not true. That's not true. The Bible says, with God, nothing is impossible. One translation says, and no word from God is without power or impossible of fulfillment. No word. Nothing is impossible. So no one can take you to your limits. You don't have any limits if you're in Christ. Say, well, this pain, I can't take it anymore. Yes, you can. How do you know? Paul couldn't take it anymore. He went to God 3 times. Take this thing from me. God said, my grace is sufficient. Paul was like, wow. Wow, I get it. Now I glory in my infirmities. Because when I'm weak, he's strong. And since nothing can ever be stronger than God, and he's in me, nobody can push me to my limit unless I don't have a healthy attitude. An unhealthy attitude has limits. All right, I can only take but so much now. You push me a little too far. You better back off. you push the envelope now. No, not if we have a healthy attitude. It doesn't matter. Bible says, count it all joy when you find yourself in diverse temptations. You start laughing. You know, I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to exercise my faith. You didn't know you were being used by God, did you? And they look at you like you're crazy. But you're not. You're healthy. Your attitude's right. Your attitude says, I can't be pushed past a limit. How can you be pushed past a limit that doesn't exist? We're unlimited. So Jesus, he has to do the same thing that we have to do. Or I should say, we have to do the same thing that he did. He was tempted in all ways. We get tempted in all ways. He didn't sin. We don't have to sin. He could have chosen to change his attitude. But he didn't. He didn't change his attitude when he knew Peter was going to deny him. He didn't change his attitude when he knew Lazarus was going to betray him. He didn't change his attitude when the people he was going to the cross for were going to lie on him and mock him when he was on the cross dying for them. He didn't change his attitude then either. He kept a healthy attitude. And because he kept a healthy attitude, he was able to do everything that God sent him to do. And we have all of this available to us because of it. If we keep a healthy attitude. And that's the keys. So you have to ask him, what are you believing about what you're going through? Whatever it is. What are you believing? Are you allowing yourself to get weary? Are you worrying? Lord, I've been dealing. I can't tell you how long it's been since I've been dealing with anything. I can't say I've been having these symptoms for 40 years. I can't. Now, Dr. May asked me, when did you first have, you know, high blood pressure symptoms? I could tell him, you know, that was somewhere around 1984. That's about it. And the only reason I remember is because I was working as an area supervisor for Kentucky Fried Chicken in 1984. So I know it had happened while I was working, while I was in a restaurant, inspecting a restaurant. So I know it was somewhere around 1984. But I don't sit down and say, I've been dealing with this for X number of years. I don't do that. You know why I didn't understand why until I was thinking about this lesson for tonight. Because doing that could change my attitude. I can get to the point when I said, it's been that long? God, it takes you that long? I don't understand. You know, I have to go through this for all of those years? Some people get it right down to the day. I'll never forget it. It was a Sunday at 6:22 a.m. Okay. Like, why are you remembering all these things? It's me personally, but I don't believe, I don't put a memorial on devastation. I don't. I don't think about it. I don't. I know the towers aren't there anymore because I saw them when they were there and now they're not. I don't need the memorial celebration every year, you know, to remember. If I'm going to remember anything, let's celebrate all the people that lived. You know, they don't say the names of the people that survived. Just the ones that died. Well, how does it make you feel about the countries of the people who perpetrated that atrocity? What does that do for your attitude? About, does it give you a healthy attitude? You know, with most people, it don't. They don't. I mean, the day after, there was something written, someone had drawn a cartoon in the newspaper about the event. Because it, you know, and the person asked his father, bring it back. The walking, they said, what used to be here? They said, oh, this is where the towers used to stand before the people of the Middle East, you know, drove airplanes into them. Next frame was, what's the Middle East? Because the connotation was that the United States wouldn't just wiped out the Middle East. This is the day after. The day after. This is God's word on the subject. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Believe that and develop an attitude based on that. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That brings health, that gives health to your attitude. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So that means our faith should be in the Lord that healeth thee and not in the instruments that he uses. Understand that. The Lord heals us. Sometimes he uses instruments. What instruments? Some are known as doctors. Some are known as medication. Whatever God chooses to use for you, but keep a healthy attitude. Some people have the attitude, I'm not taking any medicine, I'm waiting for God to heal me. Well, that's like that joke that ends, I sent two boats in a helicopter. You're looking for something divine, you're looking for something spectacular. Be like what is it, like Naaman? Go dip 7 times. Wait a minute, how come the prophet couldn't come in all his regalia and bring down lightning and thunder and speak a word, and all of a sudden my skin clears right up? He said, no, go dip 7 times in a dirty river. And you'll be healed. As a matter of fact, the prophet didn't even come himself. He sent his helper. Am I not worth a personal visit? Unhealthy attitude. And it took someone to help him get his attitude right, or he wouldn't have gotten healed. Jesus said, he is the way. That doesn't mean that he's going to do it. It means he's going to let you know what you have to do it. He's the truth. He's not going to what he says is what will work. And if you take what he says and do it, you'll have life. We need to understand, he's going to tell us what to do. We don't do it, but he's going to supernaturally let it happen anyway. No. We have to have the right attitude and actually believe it. And act like we believe it. He who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Period. Ye were healed. So if we know we were healed, then we know we are healed. So when sickness comes trying to convince us that we're not healed, we just have to look at him. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, he has come so that we will have life and have it more abundantly. He said, in this world, you will have tribulations and distresses. You will. It doesn't mean you did anything wrong. Probably means you're doing everything right. But the enemy is going to come with these circumstances to get you to change your attitude as to what it means to be in Christ. To change your attitude about what's available to you in Christ. To change your attitude about being a Christian. I read an article, the person that wrote the book, I Kiss Dating Goodbye. It was a book that we use a lot, used to recommend it to young people. He, a couple of days ago, announced he's getting divorced and he's leaving the faith. Because by everything he knows, everything he used to believe, he's not a Christian. Now, I don't know what that means. All I know is we have a responsibility to pray. You know, that the eyes of his understanding get enlightened. Because I don't know what caused him to do that. But I know in the article it talks about the loving, understanding, caring relationship he and his wife have, and it's this undying love they have for one another. And I'm thinking, but you're getting divorced. There's an attitude, there's an unhealthy attitude that needs to be corrected. I don't know who has it, but my Bible tells me, and I'm sure yours does also, that love never fails. Love never comes to an end. Love never fades. So according to the Bible, it's impossible to ever fall out of love. It's impossible. So if you've fallen out of love, you were never in love in the first place. The last of all human freedoms is the ability to choose one's own attitude regardless of the circumstances. So really, the question, the only question we have to ask, answers, what's our attitude going to be when sickness shows up? That's the question. Since I have the freedom and I have the ability to choose my own attitude no matter what comes, what am I going to choose when stuff comes? Because stuff is going to come. And we might as well get that settled, because when it's unsettled and stuff comes, you get thrown for a loop and your attitude changes. Instead of, yeah, Jesus told me you were coming. I've been expecting you. And I got something for you. He'll start backing up. I'm telling you, even in the natural, when folks jump in your face and you don't move and you don't flinch, it's like, okay, what you going to do now? There was an episode, me and my television programs again, there was an episode of Andy Griffith. This new kid came into town and was bullying everybody. And Opie knew he had to take a stand, so he took a stand. And the guy said, oh, so you want to fight? And Opie's like, okay. And so the guy looks at him now, because no one's ever challenged him before. So he puts a chip. Yeah, then knock this chip off the shoulder. Opie goes, puts his fist back up. Guy looks around. Okay, well then, you step over this line. Opie looks. Put the switch back up. I said, I think my father's calling me. And run. We have to see the enemy the same way. He comes. So, see, he comes sometimes, folks, with a furnace. Heated 7 times hotter. It's like, what you gonna do now? Shall you open the door? Do you open the door or shall I? Okay. Hold it a little lower. Make it easier for me to step in. Okay. You step in. You start doing your MC Hammer dance. Can't touch this. I mean, he's going to come. And the only question is, what type of attitude are we going to have? Are we going to have a healthy attitude? Or are we going to have a diseased attitude? My body's racked with pain. And? I mean, that's okay. What did God say about it? I can't take it anymore. Oh, so you have limits now. So you can't do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Is that what you're telling me? Well, no, I'm not saying it. Well, what are you saying? Either you can or you cannot. But if the word says that you can and you believe the word, stop complaining and start speaking the word. Start speaking the word. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I can deal with this. Pain, you leave this body in Jesus' name. So when do you stop? When it goes. At Good Sam Hospital, the first time the doctor said to me, you have a blood clot. I wasn't going to argue with him. No, I don't. Yes, I do. No, I don't. That's dumb. He's got the scan right there. It shows big as daylight, this blood clot. I mean, come on. Then there were no such thing as dinosaurs. Where'd they get those big bones? Okay. So I said, okay, God, what do you want me to do about what they just said? Because that's the Bible. God, behold their threatenings. Okay. What is it you want me to do? Every waking moment, you say, according to Deuteronomy, all sickness and disease is the curse of the law. Jesus Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. Blood clots are a curse of the law. Christ redeemed me from blood clots, therefore my lungs are clear. So that's what I said. Wherever you have blood clots, sickness and disease is a curse of the law. Jesus Christ redeemed me from the curse. Every waking moment, I was even saying it in my sleep because they woke me up. Reverend, you all right? Why? What time is it? Why are you waking me up? You were talking about curses. And I told him, I said, no, I was saying what God told me to say. Now let me go back to sleep. Not they always tell you, get some rest, and they wake you up as soon as you get rest. But my attitude was not one of fear. And that surprised me because I've heard things about blood clots. And when they told me that I had one, none of that came into play. The first thing I heard, in this world, you will have tribulation. That's what I heard. And that's what I said. That's what I told everybody that came by to visit me from Pastor Sam's church. You know, one person came by and I said, don't come in here with that face. You're welcome, but that face is not. And they want to read DC. And I said, I know what you want to do, and I appreciate it, but this is simple. In this world, you will have tribulations. Be not dismayed. I've overcome the world. I've taken away its power to harm you. So you could say, in this world, you might get blood clots. Don't be dismayed. Jesus has conquered them. He's taken away their power to harm me. Done. And that was my attitude, no matter what happened. That was my attitude. So how long do I have to stay in here? He said, well, we have to put you on a blood thin, and we have to wait and get the level to this. How long is this going to take? God, do I do this? God said, I already told you, let them do what they want to do. There's a reason why I let these symptoms show here. And so I was like, thank you, Lord, that you let this happen in Lancaster. Then I teased, you know, I have fun with God. I said, X amount of 3 hours away from home. You know, I missed the you know, the what was it? Was it Noah? I forget which program it was now, at Sight and Sound, that I wanted to see. But here I am. They say, I'm alive and kicking because I kept a healthy attitude. So in I'm glad Deacon Phyllis isn't here. She doesn't like wrestling. I don't either, but when I used to watch wrestling, Hulk Hogan was big. You know about Hulk Hogan. And he used to go, what you going to do when these 24-inch pythons wrap around you? What you going to do when the enemy comes to put sickness on you? Are you going to keep a healthy attitude? Or are you going to give in and have your body racked with sickness and disease for who knows how long? The choice is yours. Amen? Amen. God bless you. And I'll see you next time.